Well, I've had days that I'd like to whoop him upside the head with me shillelagh, but I suppose he isn't such a bad fella. Here comes the colonel.
Yeah, sure. Another drunk leprechaun who lost his way over St. Patrick's Day. I told you guys, quit celebrating St. Patrick's Day that way. All right, welcome back. Second half hour. Promise of Tomorrow here on the Science News Radio Network. I'm your host. I'm Colonel Mason. Of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. And we're going to get back to our interview with Dave Stidham, a senior vice president and COO of Tres Amigos. Fascinating, where the power grids in the United States, all three of them, going to come together at one place, Clovis, New Mexico. And then we're going to talk a little bit about security with a girl that knows all about that. Her name is Francina Hulrich, CEO of Total Protection Services Global. Well, right now, let's step over to our fountain of useless information we have here on the set.
To the fountain of useless information. How can I help you?
Yes, of course. We have awakened the spirit of the fountain because we threw in the coins, and the spirit of the fountain knows all, hears all, sees all, and tells all for a price. All right, oh, spirit of the fountain, here's one for you. You may find this one kind of easy. Which two countries are home to 37% of the world's population? Two countries we're looking for, O Spirit of the Fountain, that's home to 37% of the world's population.
I have given you my answer, and now you may tell me.
Aha! O Spirit of the Fountain knows all, hears all, sees all, and does know all, hears all, and sees all. All right, the two countries that are home to 37% of the world's population. If you said China and Texas, no, you're wrong. You're half right. It's China and India, of course, but you knew that, didn't you? All right, back to today's guest. Yes, yes, the great strains of the Science News Studio Band taking us back to our interview again with Dave Stidham to finish up. When you checked in with the earlier half hour, you learned that Dave Stidham is a senior vice president and COO of Tres Amigos, and that's where all the power grids, the three power grids of the United States, the Eastern, the Western, and Texas, are all going to connect at Clovis, New Mexico. And Dave explained about how difficult it's been, maybe not so difficult, but laborious, in getting all the approvals and all the things in place to make the change. And but things were going smoothly at last report. And now I'd like to ask him about some of the hurdles, some of the problems that he's had.
One of the big hurdles that we're covering right now, and FERC gave us notification that they intend to provide exemption from FERC jurisdiction of ERCOT. One of the big reasons that the Energy Reliability Council of Texas formed is it's totally intrastate. It's totally within the boundaries of Texas.
Yeah.
And so it's not under the federal jurisdiction, mm-hmm. and they want to keep it that way.
Oh, yeah.
Well, on our phase two of connecting from the eastern grid to the Texas grid, we're going to build high-voltage DC lines across into ERCOT so that alternating current will not flow across the state line from New Mexico into Texas into ERCOT. It'll be high-voltage DC lines, and FERC has given us a notification that they intend to provide exemption for that.
Well, that was going to be my next question, because you're in Clovis, New Mexico, and so you're pretty close to Texas. But the eastern grid connection has got to be some distance away. So you're going to go across the panhandle with transmission lines. This must be really stout, high tension transmission lines that are going to be carrying DC power. Is that right?
Our first lines we're building from Tres Amigos down to Public Service New Mexico at their Blackwater station, and we're building a 70-mile high-voltage transmission line between Tres Amigos and Xcel's Tok generating station near Mule Shoe, Texas.
Okay.
The interesting thing is that you have to keep remembering that the electrical jurisdictions are electrical connections. They really don't have anything to do with geographic location. Eastern New Mexico is in the eastern grid. Albuquerque, which is central New Mexico, is in the western grid. So Tres Amigas is actually sitting in a physical location that's served by the eastern grid.
Oh, wow.
And we're building into a location near Hereford, Texas, that is in the eastern grid as well.
Wow.
But it's going to be tied to the Texas grid.
Okay. Well, this is great because it doesn't sound like you're going to have a whole lot of big hurdles to get over. You got it all kind of figured out. And I guess I have two questions now about, you know, when the site is going to be completed, and have you set a date when you're going to throw the switch and it's all going to just work?
Well. It's not one of these things that you've got a switch that you're going to flip on. You're going to bring it up and test it like you would a power plant. And we hope to begin construction this summer and have it completed within 3 years. But 6 months of that, we'll be testing it and bringing up small loads and bringing these transactions on in a smaller scale basis until we build up to the first phase will be 750 megawatts. The second phase will be an additional 1,500 megawatts of power that will be able to be transferred between the various grids.
So you see it in operation maybe around 2017, and then total operation slowly after that, maybe 2018 or 2019?
Yes.
All right. Well, that makes sense. And then I've got to ask you also, you know, there's some pretty scary things that are going on out there with power. One is the Stuxnet worm that got into Iran, and then recently there was a report out of California of people that cut off 911 calls and methodically shot out 19 transformers at a power station trying to create a cascading power grid. How are you've got this one sensitive place for the entire country. Security, isn't that going to be a major worry?
Oh, yes. And we're going to be a balancing authority under jurisdiction of the National Energy Reliability Council, or NERC. And they've got very strict security guidelines because we will be a critical infrastructure. Our total build-out in this one corner of our facility will be 5,000 megawatts of power transfer. So our site will have a lot of physical security, especially in light of the happenings there in California that you described, and the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission has addressed that issue as well. And we will have security facilities. You'll have to have badged and fingerprint recognition to get into the facility. We'll have barricades built where you can't drive through it, and our critical structures will be protected from line of sight for gunshots. Also, we will have a tremendous cybersecurity programs in effect. The signals coming from Tres Amigas will go to Albuquerque and to Amarillo and to Dallas through various fiber optic links, so that it be controlled in Albuquerque, and we'll have redundant paths back to our control center. Also, we're required under NERC requirements to build a backup control center, which we will do in a community called Rio Rancho outside of Albuquerque.
Okay.
And we will periodically have to unman the operating center in Albuquerque and man the one in Rio Rancho and prove that we can control this facility out of both control centers.
So you're going to have plenty of redundancies. That makes me feel a whole lot more comfortable knowing that, Dave. Now, tell me, this is also new to me, so you have to tell me, what did we miss? What did I forget to ask you?
Well, I would say what's going to drive it is price differentials between these three grids. At any one time, the price of electricity selling varies considerably, and we've had a third party do a financial study of these and the profits that are available, so that a wind farm that's generating power can watch and sell to where the power is needed most. And the price of electricity is dependent upon demand and supply and the cost of that supply, which is tied to fuel cost. So as fuel prices change, as your fuel mix of fossil fuel generation changes and your demand changes, there's tremendous price fluctuations that occur constantly throughout the day. You don't see it as a consumer because they just average it out, and at the end of the month, you get a flat rate based on the kilowatt hour consumption that you've made and based on their total fuel cost that the utility has made. So you don't see those fluctuations, but they're there.
Wow, I hadn't considered that, and I suppose that's because we throw the light switch and the light goes on and everybody's happy and everything is fine until the power is disrupted, and then all of a sudden everything goes to hell in a handbasket.
Exactly. Then everybody pays attention to it.
Absolutely. Well, I know that you probably had some mentors in your life, and you probably mentor some other people. I know you're a man of distinct experience and have been doing this for quite some time. Maybe you could give us a word of wisdom, maybe something that you told a younger person as they're growing up, your own kids, or maybe someone told you some words to live by. Give us a bit of wisdom we can take away.
Okay, well, the number one is to think outside the box. Don't do it the way your granddad did. Your grandfather was probably a very smart man, but things change and you have to adapt with it. So think outside of the box. Be willing to make a change and take a challenge. It used to be for younger people. It used to be that you'd go to work for a utility. You planned on retiring from that utility, like any other organization. You wanted to get your 40-year watch and leave. But now I think the opportunities are out there for a mobilization of our workforce so that a young engineer, for example, going into the power industry will gain experience and knowledge by changing jobs and enjoying a certain amount of mobility.
All right. Dave Stidham, the Senior Vice President and Chief Operations Officer for Tres Amigos, where we're going to have the power grid, the Eastern, the Western, and the Texas all come together in one place in Clovis, New Mexico, in a really incredible operation. You've just been so kind to be with us today. I want to thank you incredibly for this. This is wonderful.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to put our story out. I think it's an exciting one.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Well, okay. So in visiting with Dave Stidham, we realized that the security at Tres Amigos has got to be pretty high level, and it reminded us of a conversation we had with Francina Hallruth, the woman CEO of Total Protection Services Global.
I would be in the office. I would begin by having a real conversation with my team members about safety and threats that they have yet to voice. They have experienced in their own world of delivering a service or producing a product for me. What are some of our vulnerabilities from the front line? Talk to me. Let's hear those. And what did you sense about that? asking the questions and probing the mentality to think. We're just not thinking. And that's where we would start, is think through those processes, whatever they are, whether it's a vault with millions of dollars in a bank, a critical protection infrastructure such as chemical food processing plants, nuclear plants, our energy plants, our government, anything of critical, or anything around people, family, loved ones, retirees, hospitals. What are those vulnerable areas? What are you experiencing, nurses and doctors on the floors? Did you sense anything? Do you sense? I think we just need to get around the table and inject the thought process into the minds of our workers. Because we're so busy doing, we're just not stopping to think. Oh, that guy did come in the surgical room. We didn't know who he was, but he was dressed out. He had a tag on. Was he an infiltrator? We didn't pay attention, but we did have a problem. We lost the patient behind this. Find out. So there are certain things that we just need to have an open conversation about that has nothing to do with the Boston Marathon. It has something to do with what we're dealing with every day. That's how we start. And then from that, we codify the resources and the information, and collectively, what we've determined is when people can see themselves in the mission, vision, and they become a part of a provision. So when they see themselves and they are part of the process, part of the solution and not the problem, then you begin to really get to the culps of what security, what breaches there really are on the front line, and then the problem is solved. And you put a plan of action that everybody can participate in and be accountable for. People need something to do. They need something to think about. And when it's the honor of the war is not in Iraq now, it's right here on U.S. soil. It's right here in Buncombe County, North Carolina. It's right there in Dallas, Texas. It showed up in Boston the other day. Where is it going to show up next? Well, we need to understand the ground war is here. It's our neighbors. It's all around us. We need to be aware.
Pretty fascinating stuff, Francita. And I've got to admit, after 9/11, and we found out that they trained these terrorists to be pilots and then to fly the plane, and I'm thinking, why didn't somebody think about that? I remember myself, I play chess, and when I teach my children chess, I would turn the chessboard around every once in a while. I wouldn't let them win, but I told them that anytime they were uncomfortable that we could turn the chessboard around and play the other way. Why didn't people sit down and plan for ways of hurting the United States and the ways that we are weak? And then if that would have happened, we would have seen the fact that we had great vulnerability with our airplanes, with our jetliners. And I think that's what you're trying to get at, is that we need to look at ourselves the way the enemy looks at ourselves. Is that right?
Absolutely. We need a mirror. These guys are just having a ball with us, and we need to do just that. We need to think. We need to be proactive and really think through and stop broadcasting our vulnerabilities on this media frenzy. That's where they get our secrets. We give it to them. And, you know, we need to keep our media about more of a general safety and consciousness society in general as a lifestyle. And we can do programming to that while we quietly tuck away and put the brain smarts on dealing with structure to deal with these threats that are right here. We can't think it's overseas. It's next door. It's right around the corner from our school. So we need to consciously stop, look, and listen. And refocus our focus, because they're here. And you're exactly right. How are they thinking? They're very patient. But we have to look inside ourselves.
Yeah, you mentioned the media, but really, as long as we've had a free press, there's been complaints about the media. I remember reading about General Sherman during the Civil War. He didn't like the reporters hanging around because he said they're all spies. Well, they weren't all necessarily spies, but by when they reported the things that were going on, the troop movements and things like that, he felt that that was detrimental to their particular cause, and so he really resented the press. But we do have a free press in this country, and and that's something that I don't think we're going to be able to shut down and do without. The press has been sometimes responsible and sometimes irresponsible, but I don't know if there's any way of curtailing that. You're not making a proposal that we have sort of limits on the media, are you?
Absolutely not. What we're doing is asking for a more conscious, collective consciousness around the issues of the society and presenting them in a way that is practical and that makes sense and is simple enough for a child to understand. It's based out of love and not fear. And it's just programming, and it's reprogramming. And sometimes it causes one to look at its personnel and its staff and what they're bringing to the masses. Otherwise, the population will dictate the news. And certainly we don't want it to continue to shut down our cities like Boston and monopolize our media for days and days on end. My goodness, these guys are gone. They're already in the next city. What are we doing? We're still in Boston on that same street talking about it. So as a general society, we need to just kind of, you know, be a little bit more private with our vulnerabilities and then deal with them quietly and focus, and it throws the enemy off. If we're not broadcasting and so free, we are a free society, and that's why they're here, because we can be free to do good or free to do evil. So we maximize the good in the best that we can, one person, one community at a time. And eventually, they will move themselves out and isolate themselves to a community that's just themselves, the bad community. But we have to rise up within ourselves to know who's next door, how to do that, and it's simple. It's not complicated. It's really not a complicated thing. We've got to get back to the future almost, knowing who our neighbors are. Very relevant. Mm-hmm. To the times in which we're living in today.
Well, you make a lot of sense, and I think certainly in the light of the fact that we've chosen to be a country of liberty. In other words, we can do about whatever we want to do as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. And when we have liberty, we're going to have to put up with a certain amount of crime, because liberty, you know, with liberty comes crime. And in order to protect ourselves from this, we better develop that sixth sense you're talking about. I think that's what you're saying, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the only way we're going to be. That's what they're doing. They have a sixth sense. They have a hunch. And it's been working for them. They blow up stuff.
Francina Hallrich, she's CEO of Total Protection Services Global. She's going to be speaking at the IEEE Green Technology Conference April 3rd on green vulnerabilities and avoiding disaster. You can learn more about that conference at IEEEGreenTech.org. That's IEEEGreenTech.org.
And now we make time for the Voice of Reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
Under carefully controlled circumstances, people do damn well what they please. And so you have to keep into account the human condition of how actually people are going to behave, particularly for us who deal with emergencies. We tend to think that people may behave exactly as we ask them to, but they don't. They're going to make their own decisions under various circumstances, including under emergency circumstances. So keep in mind that each person's making their own decision, and that they're going to react differently to the same circumstance. And you have to accommodate all of that in any system that you put together that deals with a lot of people. This is Madhu Berrywal. I'm the CEO of IEM.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
I am waiting for you.